Back on Downtown, Rich Kimble here on your Monday afternoon. He's walking like a man because that's how they teach you to do it in Rumford, Maine. Our friend Gary Tangway joining us. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Rich. What a world. What a world.
What a world indeed. Goodness, I was explaining when we came on the air today that you were the one who told me yesterday about Joe Biden deciding to stand down.
Well, you know why? Because you're smart. You go outside, you unplug, you put down your phone, and my wife and I were were driving, and of course I put her watch, her Jetson like Apple watch. She goes, "Oh my God, he's out!" And it was like it was like one minute of two or something like that. She goes, "He's out. Biden's out," and it was like. Just like that, like, and it just goes to show what kind of world we live in. Like, my wife was looking at her watch, and we find out that the president is out of the race. You know, Rich, I just look at this whole thing, and I look at it. Look, it's obviously very important to our country. And if anybody's listening, please do not mistake what I'm about to say for being unpatriotic or not feeling that this is important. But it's all a big TV show. I mean, it's just a big TV show. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, hell, you could even say it started with Kennedy, right? So, I mean, everything changes by the second. Everything changes by the minute. You and I talked yesterday, and you turned out to be right. I was like, I don't know if Kamala's going to be in. But then when I saw the money, like I think, yes, last night I saw on CNN or something like, not the money from Joe, not the money she inherited from Joe, but
right.
New money was like $60 million or $65 million, and I went, okay, well, the money's behind her, right? Like, to me, if the money hadn't come in, then okay, people are going to wait and see. But as soon as the money got behind her, and I mean new money, I said, she's okay. Well, that's a done deal. But I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if she's going to win. I think it's going to be a hell of a lot closer. I also believe this, Rich, is that. Everybody keeps saying that there's not enough time. We're in a 20-second...
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. We're in a 20-second turnaround here, where every 20 seconds, every 30 seconds, something is new. And what's old is old. I mean, it seems like everybody has forgotten about January 6th. Nobody really cares about it. I mean, they don't bring it up anymore. All his court cases, I think, Trump's are going to go away, I think. I know they're trying. But, like, people... And they bring up, like, Kamala struggled the first time. People are going to forget all about it. It's like everybody's as good as their last speech.
Short attention span theater. I mean, the debate, the debate feels like it was 2 years ago.
Words, but I took a minute.
But you're right about it. And like, maybe it's because we've become a people. This is depressing, but I think it's true. We've become a people who are constantly on our phones and watching reality shows. And that's what we want from life, from politics, from everything, is that instant gratification. And if something doesn't happen, if you don't get that plot twist you were looking for, you turn away and you move on to something else. And we're like that about everything.
Well, I've always said it'll be our own. The demise will be on our hands.
Oh yes,
you know it'll be our own apathy. It'll be our own lack of work ethic. It will be our own complacency, and that's what will do us in. I agree with you. That's what listen. People were talking about how she ran a terrible campaign. She's only good at this. She's only good at policy. She doesn't know how to run a campaign. That was obvious. She's come from the legal side of things. She doesn't have the political experience of a governor and so forth. Well, I mean, that's changed somewhat with the vice presidency, and she really stepped it up with Roe v. Wade and came out swinging. So, you know, sure, a lot has changed in 3.5 years, but, but people have forgotten all about that, you know, just like people have forgotten about January 6th. And I mean, by God, the attack on the president was awful. I mean, regardless of what you think. But that may fade.
It will, but I think a head is going to roll because this Secret Service director, man, people on both sides are calling for her to go. She's done.
Yeah, yeah, she's out. Yeah, she's out. And, of course, I mean, that's inexcusable. What happened is just completely inexcusable. I think, so yeah, she's out. There's no doubt. But that's what we're saying about the attention span. It's just people, you're as good as your last press conference, you know? And I don't know, you know, the one thing about her is she seems to want it, you know, and she seems to be able to like put her, I think she'll do fine debating. You know, I assume there's going to be a debate. I've missed that. I mean, I assume there is. I don't know.
Well, although Trump, I don't think Trump wants any part of that. He's already.
Well, yeah.
The criminal does not really want to be grilled by the prosecutor.
Well, you know, you're right. I'm calling it the cop and the crook. It's, you know, I'm dumbing it down even more, you know, because that's kind of what it is. But look, I liked her. When she first ran, I just liked her. And I fall into that group sometimes of a voter that goes, I like them. You know, I mean, like a lot of people look at issues. I look at issues and I realize that every candidate is not going to check every box for me. You know, there are some things she cares about that I don't really care about. And she's probably a little more to the left than I am. You know, I'm probably a little more to more to the middle on things, especially fiscally. But I like her. I mean, at this point in time, I just want like a decent person.
Yeah, who's not 100 years old. And I think that's the big thing is she's taken away what's been their only talking point for months is that Joe Biden was too old. Okay, well, now who's the old guy? Oh, right. Donald Trump, the oldest presidential nominee in American history, who is also prone to losing his train of thought, mumbling incoherently and forgetting names of people. So that whole thing's flipped around. And I do think she brings some energy because this election is decided by not the undecideds, but the disinterested, the people who said,
correct,
I don't like either one of these candidates. I'm staying home. If she can motivate some people to get out there, then that's the difference, because I think this election is about turnout. You get 65%, then Trump loses.
I agree. And I think you can take it a step further. It's not, you could go to the people that I didn't know who was running in the first place.
Right.
You could even take it a step further, like, oh, those two old guys who were the, I mean, and look, there are some 18, 19, you know, there's some young people out there that may not, but the Generation Xers and you know, the TikTok generation, I've been reading some articles where, you know, even people that'll make fun of her, they see crazy videos of her on TikTok, smiling, joking around. That stuff works.
She's all over TikTok. She is,
all over TikTok.
You know, because I think she has conceded, hey, Trump can have Twitter X. It's a dying platform right now, filled with crazy people and conspiracy theorists. Let the old people have that. I'm going where the young people are.
There's no question. And you're absolutely right. There's absolutely no question. There's no doubt about it. I did think, though, maybe I think I was probably hoping for a better TV show at the Democratic convention. I was wondering if the dude from Kentucky or some of those governors might make a run. But then when I saw the money, and maybe that's what they saw too. You know, as soon as they saw the money go to Kamala, like by Sunday night, all the money was going to her, they knew they were screwed.
Well, I suspect too, Gary, that people have been reaching out in the last couple of weeks and saying, look, if this happens, if we essentially pull the rug out from under Joe Biden, we cannot afford as a party to go look like we're fighting with each other and are disorganized at the convention.
See, that's something you got to explain that to me, because I don't. That's what everybody's saying, but I don't understand why. And I will give you my position. Then you can like tell me. You can, because I don't get it. And today, everybody's talking about time. People's opinions turn on a dime. I think there's plenty of time between now and the election because of the way information is transferred. Like I don't get it. Like, we don't have enough time. You got 4 months. you've got all the time in the world because of the way we communicate.
Yeah, I think there was a fear, though, that you could have factions that would divide, and you know, no one would be embraced by everybody at the convention, and you needed some level of unity, not quite the lockstep unity of the Republican convention, but you know, you needed to get this done, I think, ahead of time to show, if nothing else, that the party had their act together and they weren't in complete disarray.
Okay, let's run this through. So the convention, I should know this, but what's the actual date of the convention?
I think it's August 18th, 19th, somewhere around there that it gets underway.
Okay, all right. So by August 18th, 19th, so say by August 20th, 21st, and, you know, I'm talking out of my shorts here, on my back porch, bare feet.
Nice.
You know, and I'm like, all right, so say by August 22nd, we know who the party nominee is, and everybody comes together. I know I'm in the minority. I think there's still plenty of time to go get Trump. Like, I just don't see. I mean, obviously, the money, look, they want it. The money people wanted to give it to her.
Well, and also, speaking of money, too, if you've got three or four people battling, then that's resources, a lot of it being wasted on people who weren't going to be around by late August.
I suppose, but I mean, by late August, to me, if you have a candidate by late August, right? Because some of these other characters looked pretty good to me. I mean, the Pennsylvania guy, the Kentucky guy, everybody telling me, everything that I read and everything I see is that they've been able to reach across the aisle. They're getting things done. There's bipartisanship, you know. So I'm thinking, well, what's wrong? And I'm not saying that Vice President Harris may not be a good president. I'm just saying, you know, why are we quickly dismissing these other candidates? And obviously, I'm in the minority because all the money went to her. But again, I just think if there was an election or a fight or a battle at the convention, number one, it would be entertaining as hell, and it would certainly be better than Hulk Hogan and Dana White. But I'll get to that in a minute. But I still think you could have cohesiveness, and you could put all their money to them in August. I just the way information. I mean, obviously, no one agrees with me, which is fine.
Well, you know, I don't completely disagree with you either, because it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, this short attention span and the reality TV mindset. I think you may be right that among at least a segment of the population, good old-fashioned on the convention floor brawl, and I don't mean physical, but going at it,
right,
and with somebody emerging victorious, I think that might really generate higher ratings than you've seen in years for a convention, and a buzz that you might not get otherwise.
Well, that's what and I'm talking about, just for me as someone who wants to watch a TV show, you know, because I do remember sitting and watching Channel 5 in Bangor, you know, for that, the only station we got is, I remember when Kennedy made his speech, his concession speech, right? And then I remember I was at Ordo then. I remember one of my friends said, Jesus Christ, he goes, Christ, if Kennedy had made that speech earlier, he might be president. You know, I remember all of these. I don't know. They're just, you know, I miss that. I the fact that everybody shows up to these conventions and they're just TV shows and everybody's anointed, it's boring. Right.
But that's a direct result of the money and the corrupting influence of money.
Yeah.
Because it's all about, it's all, look at who drove Biden out. It was the donors.
It was the money. Yeah, 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 yeah.
The money talks.
No,
donors. You know, why is J.D. Vance the Republican nominee? Because that's who Peter Thiel wanted.
Right, because he and Trump hated each other, but that's old.
Yeah.
We're talking with
Gary Tanguay, by the way, here on Dat Down. Now, the other piece of this to me, and you're very well acquainted with it from being in the business for a long, long time, the coverage of this election, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow with the journalism historian Michael Sokolow, but boy, the coverage has been so bad at the national level this year, not just television, but newspapers, formerly respected titans of journalism, who have focused on nothing but the horse race aspect of this.
Oh, well, journalism's dead, dog. I mean, it's forget about it. I mean, it's over. And you know, that's why I keep it on CNN, because I'll watch Jake Tapper, and at least I see Jake Tapper get pissed at the Democrats. You know, and I'm a registered Democrat. You know, I mean, I've gone both ways. I've looked at different. I've swung to the aisle. the other aisle, I voted that way. You know, I'm like, let's be fiscally responsible, but, socially liberal. And I MSNBC, I mean, I worked for NBC for 20 years. Sometimes I can't watch it because it's just too freaking far. And Fox, I can't watch at all because it's bananas. But I feel sometimes when I watch MSNBC the same way.
But I think even the so-called respectable networks, again, focusing on polls, you watch the Sunday morning talk shows, whether it's Meet the Press or Face the Nation or Stephanopoulos, right. Everything is, well, if Kamala Harris chooses so-and-so as her running mate, stop speculating, stop dealing in hypotheticals, and go back to reporting on what has actually happened right. And analyzing what it means for Americans.
Well, I'll tell you why they don't do it is because they have 24-hour networks to fill.
Yes, bingo.
That's the problem. I mean, look, sports radio. I mean, I remember when sports radio went on the air. If you went back to when Don Hewitt of 60 Minutes said there should be one it sounds socialistic, but his point was well taken. There should all three networks should do one newscast based on fact at night. That was his idea. But that's a little dangerous. But you would watch the 6 o'clock news, and the news cycle was okay. If Uncle Walter didn't have it at 6:30, then we could get it right and have it the next night at 6. But the reason why everything is so wrong is because everybody wants to be first. Nobody uses two sources anymore.
No.
If they do, they're lying. Rich, I've seen it. I mean, you're absolutely right in sports. I've done it. I've done it to keep my freaking job. Well, it looks like the Celtics could have an interest in Rasheed Wallace.
Right.
You know, because I found out a realtor friend of mine said Rasheed Wallace is looking at a house. Well, he's looking at a house in Wellesley, but that doesn't mean he signed a deal yet. You know, or his wife, what if his wife pulled? I mean, well, it looks like, did I get confirmation from the Celtics? No. Did I get confirmation from Rasheed Wallace? No. I talked to somebody who knew the realtor. But that's the age where I've done it.
Sure,
And then you're absolutely right.
And they couch it, and whether it's sports or news, with things like, well, people are saying, or...
Oh, that's another one. Yeah. Well, I mean, I do think, out of all of them, I do think ABC, I watch ABC, because they have Christie on, and I don't agree with them all the time, but I like it. And I think out of all of them, I haven't watched Newsmax. I don't know if you have, but...
I've only seen highlights, lowlights, whatever it might be.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, I think ABC might be the best.
I think so. And even with the evening news, I think David Muir, he does an excellent job.
Yeah, he does, and I think Stephanopoulos is good. I mean, I watched Face the Nation the other day, and And plus, here's another thing. Is the politicians are just so good now. I mean, they're so, and it was so, I'll make the comparison to athletes. It's very rare you can get an athlete to say anything that's worth anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, athletes, politicians, they're all so trained media-wise, it's very hard to get anything out of them. So some of these shows become infomercials, but, I just have to say something about like the Republican convention. I just, when the Hulk came out and Dana White, I'm like, jeez, yeah. Oh my God.
Linda McMahon.
God. I mean, what is going on here?
That's a party that's serious about governing when you bring out Hulk to rip off his shirt. And then Kid Rock. They had Kid Rock for crying out loud.
Oh, I know. Kid Rock was out there doing his thing. And I was just like, oh, my God. What was it? Clint Eastwood, didn't he interview a chair?
Right. Right. That's right.
What the hell? He's like interviewing somebody. I'm like, oh, my God.
But that seems respectable time, by comparison to today.
I know. I mean, but you can't. And they've been shown. I also have seen on X and other stuff, like clips of John McCain, John McCain and Joe Biden. Friends, but disagreed. And when McCain was running, he was at a town meet, and someone started to speak poorly of, I think, Obama.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and McCain corrected him.
He goes, no, 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 wait a minute. They're good men. We just disagree.
Right.
I mean, those days are over, and that's really too bad.
And I think, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm just barking in the wind here, but I feel like most Americans would like to go back to that.
Of course we would. You know why? Because we want to feel safe, Rich. That's really it. I mean, we want to feel safe. I mean, I'm good. You know, I've had a great run. I'm good. I got my feet up. I've done a lot of things that I've wanted to do. I just want the world to be safe for my kids. And I know you do, too. I'm like, what's it going to be for my daughters and my son? What are they going to have to deal with? That's what I'm worried about. And I'm sure my parents were worried about that, the next generation, too. But, yeah, I mean, are we going to have, you know, I mean, my God, is like Drew Carey going to be the next president? I don't know. You know, I mean, it's or Ryan Seacrest, or I mean, who knows? That's what I'm. That, you know, are we never going to be able to get anything done? Are we never going to be able to fix the border? And like, don't get me started on the border, because you know, Trump will point to the border, but they could have had a deal, and he got in the way of that.
Well, and it's been it's been several presidents and many different Congresses that have failed to address that and take care of the problem. I think there's plenty of blame to go around on all sides for that.
Absolutely. There's no question. There's no question. You know, so like when they start, you know, pointing at each other, like to me, we thought we had a deal. That is a bipartisan issue.
That's should be.
Bipartisan
it should be. But once upon like a time, it would have been.
Right. But people like Trump, it never will be. You know what I mean? It's I don't know.
Well, hey, let's shift gears. I want to talk Gary Tanguay is with us here on Downtown. I want to talk about what you're doing. You're back on the radio a little bit down in Boston.
Yes, Rich will be joining me August 2nd on WBC. That 50,000-watt flamethrower that still is heard in 38 states, Rich.
That's fantastic.
But that... But since podcasts are heard around the world, it's really not such a big deal anymore. yeah, I mean, my old, you know, stick around this business long enough, you get enough friends. I mean, Billy, you know, is the program director over there, and I knew him when he was Dave Maynard's producer, and I've known him forever, and he's like, hey, you want to fill in for Dan Ray? I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And just, you know, just... got on there and talk, and I talk about what I want to talk about. And I said, I'm not doing hate radio anymore. I don't, sports radio, we used to yell and scream at each other, and I said, I don't want to do that anymore. I said, quite frankly, I said, I think listeners are over it. People don't want that. People want good conversation with different insights and bring in some different opinions, and yeah, so that's what's been going on.
You know what I miss hearing you do, because you've done so many great things through your career, but I loved it when you and Gresh were doing the Patriot games.
We had a blast. We had a blast. We had the things off the air were, oh my God. And then Zolak, when Zolak was around, he'd come over after the game, or you know, he was with us for a while. Then he went and did into the booth, and he'd come out of the booth and come over and do like an hour or two after. We had a blast because nobody loves football more than Andy Gresh. He just loves it. It's a religion to him. And I was never going to challenge him on it because he played it. He played it at the collegiate level. He read all the scouting magazines. He watched all the game tape. He talked to coaches. I mean, he just loved it. And we had a blast. Yeah, we had a really good time. Really good time. So that was a... It was fun while, and that's back when they were winning. So that
right,
was really
right.
Fun. That was like really fun.
All right, I got to ask you about it. We talked about it last time you were on, but you hadn't seen it yet. How great was season 3 of The Bear?
Oh, we hadn't? Oh, my God.
No.
I've lost track.
No, because I had seen the first few episodes, and you hadn't started yet.
I loved it. Now, I understand why some people, like my wife, weren't thrilled with some of the episodes. I get it. But I loved it. I loved the whole thing. It was a little different. And for some of the people who like mainstream stuff, you know, like my wife likes Law and Order. You know, she likes that. I'm not in life, but also the TV show. you know, she, like, if you get a little too crazy with her,
right,
on, you know, a little all over, she gets kind of pissed off. So she thought, like, episode 5 on was great. And I thought it was phenomenal. I love the ending. I love the scene with Joe McHale.
No, I haven't seen. I've not seen the last episode yet. I'm saving that.
You haven't seen the last? Oh, Jesus Christ! I'm sorry, I didn't mean to give it away.
No, I'm nothing. I'm saving it because I blitzed through the first 9 in about 24 hours, and I said I don't want to be done. I've got to hold back.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I wonder if I get. You know, like some people, some critics were saying they got a little lazy with some of the retrospective stuff and the flashbacks. And I liked all that stuff. I liked the story.
I liked it, too, because I also thought it sort of, you know, the message was, well, they got here. What happens when you get what you want? And what does it mean? You know, for Carmi, you got this restaurant you wanted to have, but look what you had to give up to get this, and how is that impacting your life? And you know, Richie, you know, yeah, you're the front end guy, front of house, but you're always fighting with Carmi. What does that mean for you? And I thought the way that they looked at each of those characters and how they got to this point and what were their personal challenges right now, I love that. And man, and I know you talked about on social media that episode Ice Chips with Abby Elliott and Jamie Lee Curtis, that was about as good as TV gets.
My God. And I think I told you, I can't remember when I listen to me name dropping, when I worked with Jamie, but with Jamie Lee Curtis, she had mentioned, I said, like, what's going on? And she had dropped a hint. You know, it just said, oh, I can't say anything, but like it given the cast, like a wink, wink. So I couldn't, you know, because when we were on the set, I think I can say it now, but like, we were on the set, we were waiting, and I apologize if I'm repeating. And some people are a little more tentative, but because I've been around a lot of professional athletes, like when you just don't give a shit anymore. Excuse me. You just don't care anymore. Sorry, Rich. Sorry.
Ding, ding, ding. FCC. It's Gary Tangway, everybody.
Yeah. You just don't care anymore. You're like, you know, like you, after you're around it enough, like certainly you were with all the country music stars were coming to town, right? And all that.
You're like, right. They're just people.
It just doesn't phase it. So like, we were sitting on a set, and she's just on the phone sitting there, and I was just like, Jamie, I go, you know, episode 6, season 2 of The Bear, you got to tell me about it. And then all the cast, like, because when you're on a set like that, you have, like, the local actors like me and some other people who have, like, 1 or 2 lines. Then there's, like, Albert Brooks over there, and then there's Jimmy Curtis over there, you know, and then there's Emma Mackey, who's the star of the show. Then there's James L. Brooks, and you're like, you know, so it's kind of like some of these things are not like the other, you know?
Right.
But I'm like, and she's like, I go, you gotta tell me about it. And she grabbed my hand and was just like, it took me through the whole thing and of like how they did the whole thing. And I said, I think it's the best thing you've ever done. It's one of the best episodes I've ever seen on TV. And she might have topped it with what you talked about.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, with that, because that's like a play, Rich, you know, in doing theater. I mean, that's a hard thing to hold. I mean, that's
right, with just two people. Two people, that's it.
Yeah, or the doctor would come in every once in a while. Mm. I mean, that's a two-person play for 55 minutes on TV. That's hard. That's hard. And, you know, she crushed it. They crushed it. And then I will tell you this. In the final episode, I think Carmi finally gets peace.
Ooh.
I'll leave it at that.
Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I may have to watch that tonight because I've been holding on. I don't want to be done with it because I loved it so much.
Well, you know what I think? I think they have one more season in them, than that's it.
I hope so. I hope it, you know, I'm a big fan of shows, even though it stings at the time. I'd rather see them leave too soon than hang around the party too long.
That's what I think. I think if they, like Shameless was around for 11 seasons, it was way too long. Way too long. Like, I think they do one more season and then call it a day.
Yeah, that's great. Gary Tangway. Hey, Gary, good talk with you as always.
Rich, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks.
We solved some problems. I think we helped figure some things out here together.
Yes, from my back porch with my feet up. We solved all kinds of problems. My neighbors are like, Jesus, keep it down.
We'll catch you soon, Gary. Thank you.
All right, see ya.
Gary Tangway with us here on Downtown as we make our way through a Monday afternoon together.